Here we go. Yeah, you can just speak normally. This should be absolutely fine. I'm just gonna let it run. All right. So I know that the government has pledged to investigate all elements of the uprising and the police response to it to find out who were the perpetrators, what exactly happened, just get things straight. A question I have is about the videos that have shown up on YouTube. Is the government planning to use those tapes as evidence in its investigation of what happened?
The government will use whole set of material to investigate what has happened in Zhanaozen. The amateur phone, mobile phone video may be part of that. We have heard that the government committed itself to full and fair and open investigation. We also know that there are lots of other material, including video material. So the entirety of all those materials will be studied and thoroughly investigated by the government and law enforcement agencies.
Now, the police claim that they have their own videotapes, which show elements of what happened. Are they preparing to make those tapes public?
This is the question to the police, of course. My guess is that after full investigation, the law enforcement agencies, on behalf of the government, will present the entire picture of what has happened. And of course, I think they will make the case much more strong if they produce different material to support their claims.
And just regarding the videos as well, there are reports on some social networking sites, we haven't been able to confirm it, that the local police were conducting searches of mobile phones of people in the area with who possibly had footage of the unrest, trying to perhaps seize these mobile phones. Do you have any comment on those claims?
I haven't heard that.
Oops, sorry about
Кто
that.
там пытался зайти? Что там?
Наверное.
Ну пусть зайдет. Что он там?
Another question about the Investigation Commission. Can you tell me a little bit more about its composition? Who are its members and what is their stated goal?
The big governmental commission, I think, has each and every, almost each and every agency, which has to do with the unrests. This includes, first of all, the law enforcement body. Secondly, it includes the emergency situations body, the Ministry of Emergency Situations. It includes a very powerful economic bloc to address the social and economic concerns in the area. Economic bloc would include trade ministry, economic ministry, agricultural ministry, oil and gas ministry, etc., etc. The government obviously contains officials from the office of the prime minister. I think the wider body of the commission also includes the local representatives. This is very important because this is to make or to help people have more confidence in what the commission is trying to do. Therefore, they have included very respected local people to help the findings of the commission. The stated mission of the go of and the goal of the government commission is to bring full clarity of what has happened and to rectify the situation on the long-term basis. That's a broad goal, and of course, it consists of a number of sub-goals.
Are there any members of the opposition that might be participating in this investigation commission?
No, I don't think opposition is part of the commission because this is a government body. And opposition per se are not members of the government, but as we know, opposition has formed themselves into a public independent commission, and they're free to visit the region, they're free to communicate with the people there, and I think that a number of parties have placed their own independent commission where the members of the opposition and NGO community are fully represented.
Yeah, that's another question that I wanted to ask you about. You mentioned the so-called civic commission. Some NGOs have attempted to do some investigations. I'm wondering, is the government ready to engage with those NGOs working to investigate this? What is the government's relationship with them?
The government is engaging with the civil society and NGOs and opposition for a long time, and Janaozian events were not the springboard for this engagement. The civil society is in close coordination and cooperation with the government in different formats. We have the Civic Forum, which is being convened on a regular basis, I think once a year or twice a year, or once in 2 years' time. We had the fourth Civic Forum or fifth Civic Forum last fall, I think. Opposition is also engaged. I was in Kazakhstan for the celebrations of the 20th anniversary, and every prominent member of opposition was at the plenary meeting and the on ensuing reception. Abilov, Tuyekbay, you just name them.
I was speaking more specifically, actually.
On this particular situation, the government is already engaging, as I said, the government is keeping an open ear for what opposition is saying. We know the about the different statements done by the opposition. We know of the intention and actually actions to carry out their own independent investigation, and engagement is, I think, is there. And I cannot comment, of course, how productive is this engagement, but the government keeps itself very open for dialogue and engagement with other forces and elements of the society.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were speaking just now specifically about the opposition. What about NGOs? Is there more of a concerted effort to investigate this with the NGOs?
NGOs are free to investigate. Whatever I said about the opposition fully applies to NGOs too.
Is there any concern that what happened in Janaozen could repeat itself at some point in the near future, perhaps in other regions? How much of a concern is that to the government?
As any government, our government has different scenarios played out. Therefore, nothing could be ruled out in this life. Therefore, I think the government is trying to take a holistic approach. Of course, the immediate concern is Janaozen, but to pretend that no one expected Janaozen, for that matter. Since it happened, the government is rolled up the sleeves and is dealing with the situation, and I think that different contingency plans are at work too.
Okay. Another question. You know, we've done.
But it's not to be interpreted as a fear that there are circumstances which or conditions for unrest and upheaval. On the contrary, the government feels itself very confident that there are no such conditions whatsoever. We are strongly against the comparisons with the Arab Spring, etc., etc., simply because we are handling a real situation, and since we are the government, and the government's main function is to make sure that the society and members of the society are well protected and provided with all necessary means of life. The government has to think about different scenarios and take a holistic approach. But we are absolutely confident that there are no objective conditions for this type of upheaval. And you know that one of the scenarios which is being studied and investigated is that there were provocateurs who have inspired this unrest.
Would you have said that the government had no fear that there were any conditions for this type of upheaval before Zhanna Ozeng?
No, we. If you were watching the government very attentively, the government was telling that the global situation, particularly the economic situation in Europe and the situation in the immediate region, is not stable. Therefore, the government was watchful, and the government was trying to tell to the public not to be absolutely complacent. Actually, we have been approaching the year with clear understanding that difficult times are ahead for Kazakhstan because of the global and regional situation. Therefore, we were trying to take a realistic approach, but our confidence was always there.
Another question based on our interviews. We've spoken to some people who have complained that there are still abuses going on at the hands of the police. There are detention centers in Zhanna Ozeng and Aktau. They say that in the basements of some of these police centers there have been people beaten, people stripped, sexually humiliated. I'm wondering, how serious is the government taking those claims in its investigation?
We are taking this very seriously, and you may have missed a major report yesterday. The government has helped to arrange a visit by the Prison Reform International people and public independent commissions to visit the penitentiary facilities where the alleged people who are alleged to be involved in this criminal activity around the riots are detained. And you can read the reports of the Prison Reform International and the NGOs. No claim about torture or whatever is justified. They have seen it with their own eyes, and they're making their report public. I have to tell you that in this situation, actually, the outsiders, many outsiders from Kazakhstan, behave stereotypically. On the contrary, Kazakhstan was expected to behave Soviet type, close down, close access, all types of access, provide distorted information, etc. Overreaction, as it is called. To a pleasant surprise by many, Kazakhstan didn't behave itself that old Soviet way. The amount of openness, the amount of cooperativeness, and the amount of fairness cannot be denied even by the enemies. And these stories about the torches is one of the stories. Of course, penitentiary system in Kazakhstan requires further improvement. We are not saying that situation is ideal there, but for that particular situation, for those particular accusations that thousands or hundreds of people are being detained, beaten, watered in the open air under the minus zero, sub-zero temperatures, etc., etc., they are very, very far from likelihood. These are blown-up stories, and they are specifically spread to smudge the government and to actually stain it, to stigmatize the government. As a normal reaction, we have invited the most related people to prison system, Prison Reform International. They visited the facilities. Members of the public, civil society were there, and they have seen. They spoke with the detainees. They even searched their bodies. To make sure that they don't have bruises, they don't have cuts, etc., etc. And they were free to talk to the detainees. So if we will continue to have the stories about the tortures and inhuman behavior, we will leave it on the to the judgment of and the conscience of those who spread those claims. But we are absolutely true to ourselves and to our people. and to our partners.
So if, as you say, you know, there are people who are spreading false claims, who do you think that could be, and why would they do it?
I don't know who that, those may be, but Kazakhstan in 20 years has developed an experience of being misreported and misperceived. Some do this inadvertently, some do this with certain designs. So I don't want to qualify those people or their actions. I simply register that Kazakhstan is not being liked, the successes of Kazakhstan is not being liked by many. And there are many enemies of Kazakhstan, of the government of Kazakhstan. But as I said, we are confident, we have our plans, and we are determined to bring those plans about.
Another related question. What is the government doing to inform people about the fate of their relatives if there are certain people who are under investigation? Is the government, you know, granting relatives access, granting legal access to those people?
Yeah, this is from the same stories, you know, that relatives don't know that, like in Gulag times, people are being stolen at night and relatives do not know the destiny of these people. These are false stories. These are false stories, and these stories stopped, I think, to be circulated massively after we have shown unprecedented openness.
Now, one of the interviews that we did was with a woman who alleged that she had been abused, and she said that when she went back to this detention center where she was allegedly held, everything had been cleaned up. There was no sign of anything. Is that a possibility? Is that possible? Or according to the government, is this just a closed case now?
I cannot comment what that lady is saying. I will give you another example. There was another lady who was spreading rumors that there were hundreds of dead, that the government is concealing the true figures, etc., etc. And she gave many interviews to the media saying that her another relative closed herself the eyes of the deceased people, of more than 20, 23 or 25 deceased people on the square. Police did the job. They found the lady she was talking about, they found that lady who was spreading those rumors. And reality was very, very far from what that lady was spreading. She claimed that about hundreds of deaths. She said that her relative, her, Kellen, the wife of, I don't know, her, daughter-in-law, whatever, I don't know, was on the square, saw people dying and closed the eyes. You know the impression, closing the eyes? She witnessed the death of more than 20 people. And when she was interviewed by the police, she said nothing of this has happened, and that relative was spreading complete lies. She saw on the square the death of probably three people, but she never said or did what her mother-in-law was claiming and spreading to the media. So this is an example, you know. There are many other reports in this situation. You know, people have their own instincts, and I don't know why they're lying. Maybe they want to attract attention to themselves, etc., etc. But the facts are that the prison reform people visited the facilities. They have talked to the detainees. They have searched their bodies, or whatever. Actually, this is a very unprecedented openness by the government and law enforcement body. Go to any police of the, in any country in the world and talk about the police abuse there, and you will see the reaction over there. And let me give you one example about the police violence. I don't know what if you know this story or not, about a Kazakh citizen here. I told about this story at the press conference.
I remember.
So that is... not to say that I'm not whitewashing our police. I'm saying that police violence is a global phenomenon. Therefore, I think that it is our common concern to make police everywhere in the world more civilized. When you have a police officer in the most developed democratic country shooting 16 bullets in a completely into a completely innocent man, when you hear claims that our police is very brutal, this raises questions, you know. And not a single voice by NGO, not a single voice by the human rights community from Kazakhstan or elsewhere. Freedom House never wrote about that situation with Kazakh citizen over there. Although they know the situation, they know the facts and everything, not a single voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So where is justice?
That's a good question. A related question I have for you. This is also based on certain claims that those people in Jana Ozen who spoke to visiting journalists or NGO activists were facing pressure from local officials. Do you have any comment on those reports?
I will ask you to talk to the bloggers. Again, in another unprecedented act of openness, the government has invited the bloggers, the most scrutinizing people, people from the blogosphere, to the ground. Can you tell me and show me any government who will be prepared to do this? The group of bloggers visited the area. They spoke with whoever they wanted to speak. Therefore, I would ask you to ask the question, to address your question to them, not to me.
Okay.
And they will give you the full answer.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's fair.
Whether there was a pressure on them or not. Whether there is a pressure on other civic groups or not, I will be absolutely happy if you will hear firsthand from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I, of course, do not take those claims for truth.
Right. The first video that emerged on YouTube, which supposedly showed police shooting at fleeing unarmed protesters, was uploaded by somebody whose nickname was Saleh540. I believe that was his name on YouTube. What I have read is that, based on our reporting, police have found the apartment from which the video was taken, but they didn't find any residents there. Is there any information about who took this video, if authorities have found him, what's going on with him?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
And just
I didn't even know that what you told me, you are the first person telling me that police found the apartment from where the video was made.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know these facts.
And just a related question. Is there any mechanism in place? Has the government put any mechanism in place to ensure that witnesses in the future are not abused or punished or pressured?
There is a system of law. We didn't come out of the blue and will not vanish into a thin air. There was a government, a stable government, a stable country, a stable nation, with the system of law, which was being perfected. Therefore, there are no grounds to believe that witnesses or any other people will be in danger. The law protects human rights. The law protects justice, full stop.
Mm-hmm. How would you characterize the world's reaction, looking from outside at the events in Jana Ozen?
I think the world, certain parts of the world, particularly the freedom, the human rights body, NGOs, they have overreacted. And they have quickly picked up those false stories about the behavior of the government. As far as official reaction is concerned, I think it's more balanced and restrained, and they recognize the sincerity and openness of the government. You saw the first statement by the State Department. It is, I think, balanced and hits the points which our government has raised. We are, of course, absolutely sorry for the loss of life. We are strongly against the violence. We are for fair investigation. We want to know ourselves the full picture, what has happened. And of course, justice should be brought to those who justice should be brought to those who may be liable and responsible for this situation. So these are the points which the government here struck. I met with officials, of course, here, and I tell you that they were pleasantly surprised that Kazakhstan behaved non-Soviet way. Of course, they keep telling us that and encouraging us to keep that path and to bring the investigation and justice to its logical end. We fully support this, and I think we work in a situation of good understanding with each other.
I remember you mentioned you were going to meet with State Department officials after your press conference that day. Who did you meet with?
I met with Bob Blake.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember what date that was? Just to add that fact as to when you met.
You just remember the day of my press conference and add one day.
Uh-huh. So the day month. After. Okay.
Yeah. But it was not a meeting only for the purpose of discussing Janowzin. This was a regular routine meeting. We have a full plate of bilateral issues. Of course, we discuss Janowzin too, but we regularly meet and we regularly discuss a very active agenda we have on our plate. We have foreign minister coming in January, so that was one of the big items we have discussed. You know that Secretary Clinton met with our foreign minister in Bonn. Afghanistan was a big item we discussed. So it is not that we called a special meeting on Janowzin with the State Department or any other body here.
It was regularly scheduled.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
see what you're saying. Just have a few quick more questions. January 5th, I believe the curfew is going to be lifted in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? What happens after that? Will there be still an increased police presence?
When curfew is lifted, it means that situation is brought to normalcy. No curfew, then life comes back to a normal, and. I think that will be done with the confidence that people's life are secure and stability is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, since it was a place where violence has taken place, I think police and other law enforcement bodies and authorities will be on alert, on vigil.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
How do you call it? You burn yourself with milk, and then you how do you call it? Cool down the water, right? How is the reason?
Blow on the water.
Yes. По-русски это обожжешься молоком, дуешь на воду. So therefore, it's very natural and human to be prepared after this type of situation. But the lifting of curfew would mean that situation was brought to normalcy and life. Comes back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember at that press conference, you said that the first video showed what you called shocking. Then the second video came out. There was a body laying on the ground covered with blood. How would you characterize that video?
Any violence is shocking and bad, per se. Therefore, you will hear no other qualification from me on any act of violence. Not only in Kazakhstan, anywhere else. I'm personally strongly against violence in any form.
Mm-hmm. And just again about the videos, is the government concerned that more videos will surface?
The government, please do not try to believe that the government is like, you know, a child waiting for a certain situation and is fearful of something. The life continues in Kazakhstan as normal. The government has very grandiose plans for the next year. Economic development, social development, political development. So Janowzin didn't stop life in Kazakhstan.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if you think that the entire government sits over there and thinks what type of video to expect again, you are very mistaken. We have big plans. We have many things to do on our plate. The situation in Zhanaozen is very unfortunate because of the loss of life, because culprits managed to take a situation out of authorities' control for a short while, and violence has occurred. This is a very unfortunate development. But otherwise, Kazakhstan is stable, confident, looking into the future, and we do not fear any type of things, and we do not believe in all any type of rumors, etc., etc. We'll tackle the situation in a civilized, normal manner.
Mm-hmm. And I guess just one final question I had for you, if I could go back to a comment you made earlier. You said that the openness that the government has acted with has been unprecedented in letting outside observers come in, draw their own conclusions, etc. Why hasn't that happened before? I mean, if this is unprecedented, how come the government hasn't displayed such openness in other cases in the past?
We have been always open. This is the first time we face this type of violence. Therefore, it is unprecedented. And I use the word unprecedented in comparison with Soviet times. Otherwise, in 20 years, Kazakhstan grew maturer and maturer, and we behaved in different types of situations as civilized nation. Of course, we are a young nation. We are a nation in the making. Therefore, not everything is perfect in our institutions, in our policies, etc., etc. Therefore, we are building our nation. We are perfecting our nation. So, these misfortunes never come alone, as you know. This situation, however unfortunate it is, showed that the government is mature, and many actually expected it to behave old way, old style, and the real situation showed that the government grew very much mature, and I think that this is one of the conclusions being made both by the partners and friends of Kazakhstan and by the enemies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much for that. We've covered a lot.